Welcome to Crypto Kid Podcast. So today I have a special guest. He's from Aperture and he's a representation, and he's going to give us a little bit of a background and how he got started in the blockchain technology and what he's doing in Aperture. So welcome, David. Thank you for taking the time and coming on the show. And I know you're a busy guy, so this is an honor.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Should I call you Crypto Kid, by the way? Is that your official moniker?
Yeah, you call me Crypto Kid or Sunny. Doesn't matter, man. I go either way.
All right. Crypto Kid. So first off, thanks for having me. My journey to the blockchain space. Do you want the fun long version or the short and concise version?
Give me the fun long version. I'm sure people would be excited just to know who you are and what you're doing.
Sure. So I'm I consider myself not an elder millennial, but like a middle millennial, so to speak. So I graduated college in 2014. All that's to say, my first interaction with the blockchain space was like hearing about like that kid in college who was buying drugs on the Silk Road. Which I think was a lot of people's first like introduction to Bitcoin. And beyond just like being aware of it, I kind of have like a funny real life interaction. So there was an apartment I was living in my sophomore year of college. And this is in Charleston, South Carolina, by the way. You can look this story up. I think it's technically in the Guinness World Book of Records.
Wow.
If you Google the right terms. But so I was in this apartment in college. I had a roommate. She was someone I knew from high school. And my roommate, she liked to party, like really liked to party. And I, not that I wasn't into the partying scene myself. I was just like, you know, not quite on her level. But anyways, all that's to say, she had like a kind of a group of friends, some acquaintances that were a bit more out there than some of my friends. And long story short, when we move out of that apartment, my roommate, she kind of like found the new tenants that were going to live there, or like, you know, recommended it to these acquaintances of hers. And, you know, me being like a 19-year-old that I was at the time, I didn't like properly move out immediately. I kind of like left some shit in my room. I had like some trash bags of like clothes and stuff. And so I go back like a few weeks after the move out date to like pick up these trash bags from the new tenants that are living there. And I step in and I'm like, holy shit, what are these two dudes up to? Like they clearly had some kind of operation going on in this apartment. Everything looked, everything was incredibly messy and disarray. And I could tell like these dudes were into some like hardcore substances. Anyways, I don't think a ton of it. I was just like, damn, my roommate, I'll call her Ashley. That's not her real name, but for the sake of the story, I was like, damn, Ashley has some truly sketchy friends. So I filed that in the back of my head. I was like, okay, whatever. And then this is like, I guess, 2012, thereabouts. Anyways, like 6 to 12 months later, we start hearing this like crazy story, like through the gossip mill, that the FBI / DEA had arrested these two kids who were selling like heroin and other hardcore drugs that they'd bought on the Silk Road out of this apartment, the room I used to live in. And apparently the FBI and DA had seized something on a hard drive called Bitcoin. And it was the first such seizure of Bitcoin by a government agency in the entire world at that point in time. So that was, I think, is in 2013, 2014. You can look it up. If you talk about Guinness World Book of Records, like first crypto seizure, it should pop up. Anyway, so that was my like first introduction to Bitcoin. you know, 10 years ago, flash forward, you know, a decade, I end up kind of like, was living in China for a while after I graduated, and then got a job at a Chinese tech company in California. And then, you know, being in the Bay Area, one thing led to another, and I kind of found myself working in crypto full time a little over 2 years ago when I joined Aperture as the sort of like growth lead slash head of marketing, head of business development. And yeah, I've been there ever since. So yeah, that was kind of my winding journey to being in the blockchain space.
It's very interesting. It sounds very, very chaotic in the beginning. Just like, what, just thinking about it, just like, what are these guys doing? And then you're actually starting to work into it. So finding the good out of the bad is great. So can you explain the concept of recurring rebalance in Aperture?
Yeah. So jumping right into it. So a quick intro on Aperture. So we, you know, we've been building in the DeFi space for over 2 years, started in late 2021. The first product we had was very popular. It was on the Terra Classic ecosystem. It was like a vault, incredibly popular vault. If anyone was big in Terra back in the day, you probably are familiar with this. Anyways, you know, after Terra, DPEG, we kind of went on like a soul searching journey, and we eventually wound up in this sort of like what we call the liquidity intense. What really you can think about it is it's like an early stage intense based solution for liquidity providers on concentrated liquidity DEXs. So that includes like UniV3, that's primarily where we're active. And so we provide these sort of like liquidity intense sort of like tooling solutions for these LPs. And we recently launched like a super advanced feature called the recurring rebalancer, which is what CryptoKid's asking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that recurring rebalancer, so for anyone in the audience who's not familiar with how concentrated liquidity works, but you provide a certain amount of assets that you will provide liquidity on for a certain price range. So like a really basic example would be like right now, if you showed up, you're like, okay, I'm going to provide liquidity on ETH USDC from ETH at a price of 2,400 all the way up to a price of like 2,700. As soon as ETH crosses 2,400 or crosses 2,700, two things happen. One, you're no longer earning fees. You're no longer market making. You're no longer providing liquidity. And you're now 100% one of the two assets. So if it crosses 2,400, you've effectively bought the dip on ETH, and you're now sitting fully in ETH. And if it crosses the top of the range, you're sitting fully in USDC. And so if you want to start providing liquidity again, you have to rebalance. And what that involves is you basically have to withdraw your liquidity position. You have to solve a math problem to figure out how much of the tokens you need to swap to get to your new desired liquidity position. You have to perform the swap. And then you have to redeploy all these new tokens, this new ratio of tokens back into Uniswap. And so what we do at Aperture is we simplify that into one step, one click, basically. We do all those three transactions at once. You save on gas, and we also solve the math problem for you. So it's, yeah.
That's
this
great.
Is a massive, yeah, massively popular feature, and kind of the next level up of this is we're making it so that we will rebalance your position in perpetuity for you, recurring rebalance. And this is basically the same strategy that like Wintermute or other super large market makers deploy on chain to get yield, providing liquidity. And some of the very, very professional market makers like that, they can print like 30 to 50% APR throughout the year on really large sums of money, like, you know, tens of millions of dollars, by deploying this type of recurring rebalance strategy. Now, the way this strategy works, it's super advanced in that there's a lot of risk you're taking, Because every time you rebalance in Univ3, you're locking in permanent loss. And so you have to know, make sure that you as the LP are savvy enough to know how to set up this recurring rebalance strategy such that you're going to earn more fees, or that you have a good shot at earning more fees than you will incur in losses from impermanent loss. And so, yeah, basically the way the recurring rebalancer works is you come in and you tell Aperture under what circumstances you want your LP position to rebalance, and Aperture will execute that logic in perpetuity. So forever going forward until you turn the strategy off. We will rebalance every time, you know, ETH jumps by a certain price percentage, or the ratio of the assets in your LP becomes a certain percentage. We'll look at that trigger, and we'll rebalance to your new desired range, which is based on a future spot price. So you'll pick a range. It's like, I want to be, you know, plus or minus $300 from whatever the future spot price is at the time my trigger is met. And we'll execute that and, you know, basically forever until you turn it off. So yeah, it's a super advanced strategy. It's definitely for institutional users or super sophisticated retail users. With that being said, it's like kind of truly probably the first time someone has like democratized market making in this regard, because currently that kind of tooling or strategy was only accessible to the in-house team at Wintermute or some other large market maker that had, you know, built that tooling for their own proprietary use case.
Okay. So how does advanced strategy in Aperture work, and what are the potential risks and benefits?
Yeah, so the way this one works is like, I guess I can talk you through a little bit more of the like nuts and bolts. So basically, like, you come in, you can either set up your LP, your initial position on Aperture, or you can import one that you made on Uniswap. And what you do is you sign TX that you pay gas for it. And basically what this TX says is that you allow the Aperture smart contract to edit your position when you're like declared intents. I get into more of the like the intent stuff later, but you sort of like declare like, I want my position to rebalance when X, Y, and Z happen, and I want the position to rebalance to this new range of my choosing. And what you have to do is you sign a message that allows Aperture to edit your NFT positions when those triggers are met in perpetuity. So you don't give Aperture your liquidity. You don't like put it into a smart contract in Aperture, but rather you hold on to it. And whenever your trigger's met, Aperture, our kind of solver, so to speak, will show up and edit that position for you. So yeah, that's how the kind of this particular advanced strategy works.
So like, so people are putting their trust in Aperture. What if they don't want you to make that edit for them?
I would say like the alternative is actually requires even more trust. So similar solutions, there's not like a direct competitor to us, but there are similar-ish solutions, and all of those require that you like put your funds in a smart contract operated by the protocol. So Aperture is like definitely a step in the direction of self-custody. I mean, you still fully self-custody these things. So I would say we're the solution you have to trust the least. And for people who are concerned, like there are limitations set forth by the permit function that we're leveraging to do this. That permit function is baked into the Uniswap contract. And at the end of the day, Aperture, we're allowed to swap assets on your behalf, and we're allowed to add liquidity, remove liquidity. But we have to return everything to your wallet, whether we made a new position, whether we made a new liquidity position, or whether we just withdrew your position into two tokens or one token. We have to return all that stuff to your wallet. So, I mean, you could get really creative and think of like ways we could hurt the user, but there's not really ways. If it's like not... someone.
It sounds like you're almost like protecting the user. You know what I'm saying? From like seriously damaging themselves or making the wrong decision. Is that like you guys are kind of like stepping in like, all right, that might not be too smart.
Yeah, I would say the user still has to, we're just going to do whatever they tell us to do. But we do, if your other alternative was to go into like a smart contract solution, you know, we're protecting you from that kind of smart contract risk. You can also set up our automation features to protect your position in a sense, like, we can have, like, if a certain price is met, you can have the position just totally close out if you want to get out when volatility is kicking up. So that's another, an option users can take. But we're really, at the end of the day, like, our big value add is around, like, you get better execution and you get like major convenience or kind of usability when using Aperture solution.
Okay, now can you clarify the mechanisms behind the triggers and their executions in Aperture, or did you already explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so these triggers, like the thing that triggers our solver to show up and edit your position, right now there's two pieces of data we're primarily looking at. We look at pricing. So we use a price oracle. It's the CoinGecko API in most cases. There's a few instances where we use the like pool pricing. But we were just like, we have a system that's constantly monitoring the CoinGecko price API and looking at all the active triggers that we have noted down in our system. And whenever one of those things matches, we then show up to that position to edit it. The other piece of data we look at is like the, I guess there's actually more than one more, but the ratio of assets in the position. So some people will set triggers like once I'm 90% ETH, 10% USDC, then do X. So we also have to monitor the ratio in your specific position, the asset ratio. And the other thing, of course, like people that compound the fees, we will also like monitor the amount of fee revenue you have that is unclaimed for that position. And if you could say something like, once I have $500 worth of fee revenue, then compound it back into my position. We will also obviously monitor the amount of fee revenue in that user's wallet.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. And So how does permanent structure work in Aperture for interacting with liquidity positions?
Yeah, I touched on this a little bit already, but for that recurring rebalancer, that requires you to sign this authorization transaction that lets us edit your positions in perpetuity. But for some automations, like if you just want to say like, hey, once ETH hits 3K, then do X. For that, you just sign a gasless message, actually, through this permit function. And that allows our solver to edit this one NFT. So in Uniswap, your liquidity is through an NFT. If you're just doing like a one-off thing, you don't have to, you can just use this permit function. But to edit positions in perpetuity, Aperture has to have permission to not only edit the current liquidity position you have, but also future ones that have not yet been created. And so that's why that requires the more hefty authorization that you have to pay gas for. But yeah, otherwise it's a gasless message that you sign.
Can you give like a little show and tell what Aperture is and how it works?
You want me to like screen share?
Yeah. Show the viewers what they're actually looking at. and the tools and mechanics and how to navigate through it?
Sure. Let me pull up. Yeah, so we have the left side here, liquidity intents. That's like the normal interface. If you click on the API, that's kind of for institutions that want to have like a API interface. Which kind of gives you an indication we have a lot of whale users on our platform. But yeah, so if you click into like a liquidity test, you can see I have a few test positions here on Uniswap, or sorry, on a Polygon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you click into one of these, you'll see you've got like, so this one's currently out of range. This is a Matic ETH LP that is now 100% Matic because the price of ETH is pumped, and the price of Matic has not pumped alongside that ETH increase. So I'm out of range. This would be a good chance I could show you what the rebalance looks like, a kind of vanilla rebalance. You can see there's also $4 in unclaimed fees that are split between the two tokens. I could also reinvest those fees right now, which would be kind of silly. But what it would do is basically it would swap all this ETH for Matic and then add it to this single-sided position. Because when you add liquidity to Uniswap position, you have to add it in the exact ratio that it currently exists. So right now, the ratio is all Matic, no ETH. So the only type of add liquidity you can do is to add more Matic.
Okay.
You can see down here, recurring rebalance, we could set that up. We could set up an automated rebalance. This is sort of like a one-off rebalance in the future based on a trigger. You could set up a pre-scheduled close, which is very similar to rebalance, but the trigger, instead of moving it to a new range, will just close out your position. So people will use that to do like a range order. This is actually how a lot of VCs sell their tokens. They'll set up UniV3 positions in such a manner that once they've sold out of that governance token or whatever they bought into ETH or into a stablecoin, then the position closes out for them. So yeah, if we wanted to rebalance, so I'll toggle this so it makes more sense. So you can see I was providing liquidity from 1600 Matic per ETH up to 2880 Matic per ETH. However, the current price is a little over 3000 Matic per ETH. So if I want to get back in range and start earning fees again, I need to make sure that I'm covered at least at the point of this price right here. So I'll click on rebalance and you can see. So here's this like liquidity graph, and you can see like the purple lines are where my range was set up, and the gray line is where the actual price point is. So I'm currently 5.3% below. The top side of my range is 5.3% below the current price, and the bottom end of my range is 47% below the current price. So one way I could update the position is I could grab this purple line and just move it out. And you see it updates down here. Mm-hmm. Of course, we can go back. Another thing I can do is I can just hit this plus button. And you see each of these price jumps is the smallest possible price jump you can do. This is just kind of a quirk of the Uniswap tick math. But if you keep clicking plus, you see it goes up by like about 3 Matic per ETH per. Eventually, you'll hit the plus. Tick, 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 tick. Now it's in range. Barely. So the top now is, 8 bips above the current price, which is enough to start earning fees. If I were to do it this way, I'm basically betting that it's going to come back. The price of ETH relative to Matic is going to kind of decrease, and so it'll trade more in this range. if I think ETH is going to continue to break out and Matic is going to lag behind, I probably would do something like this. And I would drag the bottom of my range just below the current price, and I would make some room on the top side so that I could continue to earn fees. You can also see this purple mountain behind it. That's the current liquidity across for all the other LPs. You can see a lot of people actually seem to think that it's going to retrace because there's more liquidity on the backside than there is on the front. There's not a lot of liquidity for, you know, close to 4,000 Matic per ETH. So that's kind of just, you know, you can look at what the rest of the market thinks that way. So yeah, if I wanted to do, like, let's say I wanted to do this. I would then just scroll down and hit rebalance now. This will show me my projected liquidity position, which will still be 81% Matic, but now 19% ETH. Because currently, remember, I'm currently 0% ETH. So that lets you know that you've got to swap about 1/5 of the Matic you have for ETH. And doing that, you're going to lock in some impermanent loss. But you will also, you know, be back in range and be earning fees again. And the aperture fee, this is what we will eventually charge. And it might not actually be 0.1%, aka 10 bips. The actual pricing model we have will be a little bit more sophisticated than that. But this just, like, is reminding users that, you know, we will eventually have to charge a fee to keep the lights on. But yeah, and then yeah. If I wanted to do the rebalance, you just hit confirm rebalance and then it'll pull up the message to sign. But yeah, that's the basic. This is our most popular feature, this rebalance now. You know, we've done close to $300 million in volume on this since we launched in July.
You said 300 million?
Yeah, wow. I can pull up the dashboard, actually.
That's a lot of money you pumped through.
Yeah, so you can kind of think, like, if we charge even just like 5 bips fee on that 300 million volume, there's still quite a bit of revenue. And that was only for half a year. And most of that time was like, so this is the cumulative volume. So, like, we launched July 10th. And you could see it slowly started to take off. By September 12th, we had 8 million in volume. By November 12th, we had 50 million in volume. And now by, you know, January 12th or January 16th, we've had, you know, 289 million in volume. So we've had a lot of explosion in the past, really 45 days, I guess. So we've seen just a ton of volume.
That's phenomenal. It's just like, and seeing that grow, it's just like, it must be a very satisfying feeling from where you guys were and how much the community is getting involved and pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great seeing this kind of, what we call product market fit take off, where, you know, we've been doing some very tactical marketing throughout all of this, but really at the end of the day, it's just explaining the product to good users. And once they know how to use it, they'll tell their people, and eventually they'll tell some whales and whales will tell other whales. The next thing you know, you're getting $20 million a day in volume, 6 months after launch.
Okay. Now, what are the security measures in place in Aperture? How does the user retain custody of their liquidity position?
Yeah, like I said earlier, that we use that permit function. So Aperture, okay, you know, we just show up to touch the position when your trigger is met. And until, you know, during before and after that time period, it just sits in your wallet.
Okay. So can you elaborate on the upcoming DEX on Layer 2 and the integration with Meta Pacific? Or Manta, yeah, Pacific?
Yeah, Manta. So this one's been pretty popular. If any of your users are active in the DeFi or airdrop farming landscape, Manta was an L2. They launched like back in October. They had like an initial airdrop campaign that kind of didn't do so well, and then Blast comes out. And Blast, for those who aren't familiar, it was this layer two that's built by the team that made one of the leading like NFT trading marketplaces called Blur. And Blast had this kind of airdrop farming technique where basically like if you locked money in this contract and then like referred friends to lock money in this contract, you would get points. This kind of like points pyramid scheme thing that was really popular, and Manta did the same thing, but they actually had a layer two launched already. And Aperture, you know, we are like this liquidity intense solution, but we also can, you know, very easily like launch our own DEX, forking Uniswap with our, and then adding our tools in. It's very easy for us to do. And that's what we did on Manta. That launched back in October. And, you know, once this airdrop farming campaign called the New Paradigm launched like a month or two ago, once that started, you know, we started seeing a ton of volume on Aperture Swap, which is what our DEX is called. And yeah, I think the Manta token, I don't know when this podcast will come out, but I believe the Manta token is launching tomorrow on Binance. So I expect we'll see a ton of trading volume on our DEX once that happens, as people are going to be swapping the Manta token. So there'll definitely be a frenzy there for a few days, I suspect.
That's pretty cool. Binance is honestly one of my favorite platforms to trade. So yeah, awesome. How does Aperture compare to other platforms like Unibox from Diamond Protocol and Strata, formerly Alpha Finance, in terms of leverage and yield farming?
I'm not familiar with Strata, but I could talk about Unibot a little.
Okay.
Unibot is like a way to lever up on UniV3 LPing. I have not heard much from them in recent months, but basically like it's like a lending market, and then there's this like sandbox where the LPs can borrow assets to yield farm on UniV3 with. I don't personally think that's a very good idea or something people want to do, because if you want to get more yield in UniV3, you just make your range smaller. The tighter your range is, the more fees you'll earn. So the concept of like borrowing to lever up doesn't really make sense to me. Outside of a few very niche use cases where you have a really good sense of like where the market's going, which is like, you know, almost never in crypto in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what Unibot is. Like it's a lending market, and if you're an LP, you're kind of like depositing into their smart contract so you can lever up on tokens. So we're quite different from that. We're not enabling levers. We're kind of enabling better execution and better pricing for normal LP behavior.
So you guys are not planning on offering leverage for position in Aperture?
No, I mean, also the way our roadmap works is we basically listen to what the LPs ask for, and we've yet to have a single LP say, hey, we want to lever up. I think the LPs that know what they're doing know that that's kind of a stupid idea. But what we do hear LPs ask for is people asking to hedge, meaning like if they're LPing ETH and USDC, maybe they want to short ETH a little bit so that they're not as exposed to the ETH downside. And that is something we are looking into doing eventually. Have it so that like you can post your LP as collateral, and then, you know, potentially take a short position against that LP to protect some of your delta exposure. But yeah, no plans for that traditional leverage model.
Now, as we come close to the end, is there anything you would like to share about Aperture that's going to be coming out that people could get excited about, or any events that you're going to be at, like for meet and greets and how people could reach you?
Yeah, so we're launching our token this quarter, hopefully in March. Stay tuned. There will be an airdrop snapshot. We're not going to tell users what that snapshot will be, but there will be a decent sized airdrop that we'll be distributing to the users community at large. So yeah, definitely follow us on Twitter, follow myself on Twitter, just stay on top of all those developments.
Yeah, and all those links will be in the down below in the description. So yeah, man. Hey, it was a pleasure for you having to come out on the podcast, and I wish you the best with your endeavors, and we should catch up about sometime for now and see where you guys are at and how far you guys came along.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, man. Have a good
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Likewise, take care.